Michael, how the devil are you?
Yeah, very good, Rusty. Good to hear from you, man.
It feels like a long time since I've done a podcast, so I might need just guiding through it a little bit.
Yeah, my Spotify's been taking a big hit in the absence from the Magic Academy.
Yeah, sorry, mate. My bad. And and how's everything over in Ulster? All good?
Yep, all getting towards the busy season of school with lots of competition fixtures coming up. Halfway through the season of a club program, and then plus just school exams and the fun stuff like report writing, you know.
Nice and annoying budge on WhatsApp.
Yeah, lots of WhatsApp groups on the go. You'll have to actually make an apology to most of your regular listeners, whoever's choosing to listen. Sorry about my accent. It's a pretty harsh, rash accent, I think. And I don't think you've had anybody from here on it before.
Do I not have anyone from Northern Ireland?
I'll claim Jared Payne.
Jared's got a pretty strong accent.
Yeah, he's an Ulsterman.
Yeah, true story. Well done. Mate, do you want to explain like who you are and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm just a PE teacher who coaches rugby or teaches rugby, quite obsessed about the game and all things coaching. Probably leading in towards 2019. Unfortunately, in the lockdown of 2020, I just discovered a bit about yourself and the Magic Academy, and it started to spark a bit more of my curiosity on different ways of looking at games or the game and coaching, and it's kind of just rolled on to that. To I think we caught up first of all over at Rosslyn Park after a Zoom call with Ulster Rugby, and then you came over here for a trip as well, and we got a couple of days together. So yeah, school teacher who coaches rugby, ex-rugby player who would still like to play the game.
Nice, and of course you use the prefix just with a with before you announce yourself as a PE teacher, which is very common.
Yeah, it's usually follow up what you do. You're a teacher. You're not really a teacher. You're a PE teacher.
And to be
Yeah.
fair, so Rosslyn Park, he gave a jersey to me for my son, so I was forever indebted to you.
Yeah, we did a jersey swap pre-match. I tried to soften him up a little bit in the team just before we got into a contact game. I thought I'd win him over a little bit.
Yeah,
Get his
actually,
confidence
I'm
up.
sorry, I forgot he played. He played well, actually.
Well, we don't play that many sevens over here. So we have a sevens competition pretty much maybe twice a year towards the end of a rugby season. And we went over to Rosslyn Park and I ruined it for the boys. I butchered any opportunity they had of playing well. We walked around London all day Sunday, every site you could see, all day Monday, coffees on the Thames, and then we turned up to a sevens competition on a Tuesday. We won our first game. Then we played you guys, your son's school, sorry. And we played pretty much 15-a-side rugby. Then we played on the main pitch and they were done. They were dust, man. They didn't have anything left in them by that stage. But yeah, we had to catch up there.
Nice. And I guess the reason I've got you on the pod is that you are, as you said, obsessed. And then I'm also interested in, obviously, I went over and watched you coach a bit in the club as well, and obviously the school. And I just think like your energy, your infectious energy around coaching and the game. And I'm just curious, and maybe it's a January pick me up for some coaches. I get to go to the Southern Hemisphere tomorrow and get a bit of vitamin D, and that might pick me up. But I'm just curious, like, where does the obsession come from? And then, like, what is it you think you're doing that means that, like, and you're doing, like, I'm not saying that winning's important, but like, your senior team's like winning some games and stuff, isn't it? You're starting to grow girls' rugby over there as well. Like, it seems like there's a decent amount of energy around your stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty obsessed with the game and the sport. I'm pretty driven to be the best that I can be when I'm doing my job. So my job's teaching. I'm going to try and be the most fun but best teacher, and the same with rugby. But it's also driven around being very competitive. And yeah, there's lots of elements within the school role. There's the girls' game. I was quite keen to grow that. And for various reasons, it challenged me as a coach, but it was also give you a lot of joy out of seeing new people enter the game and more people adding on to the game from their energy and how they're feeling about it. So trying to probably dips into environments that you try to create for people to want to be part of and belong to. The school game is fun. It's like a new club every year because you get that turnover of players, of people exiting, and the wet cement coming in at year 8 under 12s, and you're getting trying. shape them or give them a bit of structure and see them grow through the school system. And as you said, I'm really lucky. I work in a small country school and I coach the club in the same time. So whenever they exit the school, ultimately I want them to stay in the game and keep playing it and becoming better players, but I want them to then move into the local town, preferably if they're staying at home, and then you get to see better players come into your club team. And the club team's on a bit of a roll the last couple of seasons. They're winning quite a lot, which is a nice reflection, but it's more about the style of rugby they're playing and how they're going about their rugby.
Why, what's the style?
Fun, man. It's like everything that we do is shaped around fun. Whenever I say fun, like if people think it's as your term and Fletcher's term was pink and fluffy, it's not about that. It's about playing the game in a way you want to be part of, and having kick passes, having shit kicks, having double passes, having skip passes, but also beating a guy through the collision and looking for an offload, and not being programmed. Yeah, pretty loose probably in all senses of the game, being unpredictable, things like that.
And are you an outlier, or is that how other people are playing?
Am I what? Sorry, I missed that little bit.
Is your team like an outlier, or is that how other people, do you see other people play like that or not?
I think we maybe challenged how we wanted to play the game a couple of years back, and the marginal gains for other teams were bigger, and they've improved greatly. So it's a really competitive league now. And I think that's the impact of COVID and coach education, and other coaches want to become more curious as well. So it's a really competitive league now. But yeah, I don't know. I know you're a fan of, I'm a huge fan. I know you're a fan of a Marcus Smith. Harlequins were unpredictable. It's great fun to play in. It's hard to defend. And I think that's the best way the game should be. And that's what makes it more attractive for people to become involved in it.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. One is about what you've learned from the girls. The other one is around changing mindsets of older players. But just I was speaking to someone at Northampton Saints today, and I just said, oh, how you know? And he just said, oh yeah, the lads are just coming in and having fun and working hard. And I thought, that's pretty cool, eh? At the same time, one of my mates whose son's over in New Zealand said, oh yeah, he's happy and he's healthy. And I thought those are all kinds of words that would be important to me. And again, I was thinking about it. So obviously, Fraser doing well. Alex Coles looks like Mitch is going to re-sign as well at Saints. Like, it's such a good recruitment tool to play in a style of rugby that people want to be part of. And also, the reality is, like, those players are getting better. And I won't pick names, but obviously, Mitch was with us with the 18s. And I think there's some other players that could have been better than him, but he's in an environment where he's learning all the time. He's getting better every day. He's being challenged. It's like, yeah, how unpredictable can you be? Again, I don't know whether that's it's also at a time where I see people like have dwindling numbers, and I actually wonder to what extent that's due to, they're just not having that much fun.
Yeah, I think whenever we promote fun, people do think of the pink and fluffy side of things, but fun can be working really hard.
Yeah.
Fun can be winning. And everybody's perception of fun is different. Like I love a game of Monopoly at Christmas time because it's good fun, it's competitive, but it got banned from our house about 5, 6 years
Too
ago.
long. Less
Distinctly.
it takes too long.
It got too heated. We've moved on to Traitors board game this year. It's actually really good fun. It's quite competitive and heated. But yeah, I think if you ask anybody in any field of work, if they're having fun at work, they're going to do that a little bit more. They're going to feel a bit more belonging. They might not take their work home with them the way a football coach, a hockey coach, a rugby coach does. But if you're that coach also having fun, you're probably going to do that a little bit more when you don't need to. Are you going to lean in that a little bit more and help out? Best environment is a fun environment. People are going to thrive in that. So yeah, I think the better the environment for players, the more they're going to succeed and grow.
And the person I was speaking to earlier also, as actually, he came out on loan from Northampton when he was a player to me at Birmingham. And I said, oh, like, many apologies for that. And he went, no, that's when I had the most fun. I actually didn't, didn't enjoy feeling the pressure and the stress of playing in front of 15,000 people and, the threat of not being picked. I actually enjoyed when I was playing and we were playing in a way that I liked being part of. So,
Yeah, I've actually had that chat with even players moving from first 15 to second 15 at the club or at school. And sometimes they're if I'm promoting a fun environment, there's still obviously a bit more demand to win a match at first 15, so that, from the players around them as well. So there's more expectation to perform. But whenever they drop into second 15, they don't feel that. But sometimes it can be a player putting that on themselves. And what I find is getting a conversation with the player around that, going, there's no pressure on you anymore to play on the ones. You know, if you make a mistake, I'm not that bothered on the sideline. Just try it again. If you that's probably the thing I get frustrated in coaching is whenever they try something that they haven't maybe practiced that often and they're expecting it to work. You know, but if we create the environment for them to do it in training, then there's more chances it's going to come off in the game.
Yeah, and again, sorry, another tangent, but the behavior of players in the first team towards someone who's come up from the second team and is probably like maybe anxious around that stuff is pretty important. I'm speaking as a father of a daughter who's definitely like would much rather be in the B or C team than the A team because of the behaviors of the first team players towards people who come up and play.
Yeah, well, that's, in my opinion, something that a coach should be addressing to have a better environment around that A team, if you want to call it that A team. The one I like about Walshy, Aaron Walsh, who you've had on a lot, I really like his stuff. It's about the honesty you can be as a coach to build trust with them, and you can be a lot more open then. And it's probably connecting the psychological safety of what they're capable of doing, what they're allowed to do, and what you're trying to teach them to do in games. But it shouldn't really vary that much from the coach's environment from A, B, or C, I don't think.
Yeah, and no, I agree. And how have you found that with the club? So, a couple of things like, have you found like the connection between the first team and the second team again? My son has had experiences this season of going into senior rugby where that's been done well and done poorly. And then, what about the kind of older players who might not want to do cross kicks and, you know, be unpredictable?
Yeah, that's probably I've been involved in the club for, well, a lot of years now, and at the start it would have been a complete just shake the head. We don't do that here. No. No, this is what we do. It's like, no, that's what you did do, and that's what we're maybe doing at the minute. But we're going to evolve. We're going to try and become a more attacking, a better threat team, or a more aggressive defensive team. But to be more aggressive with defence, we're going to show them where we want them to go, and then we're going to go get them. Like set them a big open space to go to. So the knock-on effect of me being in a school system is, as an 18-year-old is exiting the school, I'm hoping to capture them and hold them in the club, and they're getting learning a little bit of the pathway. So in the club world, the club team grows and gets stronger, as does the ones and twos.
And what about, I mean, have you got any like practical examples of how you've, because some of the front five will probably have gone, no, Mike, no, we're Ulster men. This is how we do stuff around here.
Probably the opposite way was when my second row box kicked to a fullback once, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Really sorry, shouldn't have done that." And inside, like, my monologue was bouncing at the time. I don't know what he saw or thought, but at the same time, I was going, he's having fun. Bad shots. He'll probably never do it again. I hope he doesn't do it again." And then I watched it back in footage and said to him, "Do you know what? The kick was really good. It just went too far across to where the guy was. If you had to put it down the middle of the pitch." No, I think it's evolved. I think my oldest player is one of my coaches, actually, who's 38. And he's one of the biggest promoters that he wants to, Ricky Lutton, you've met him. Like, just get in there, Sky play scrum half, get the ball, pass it, move it. Don't wait for a number nine. Don't have to have a nine in your back to do it. Let's play fast tempo. Let's shift it around. But he came from a wide range of rugby experiences, and he understands the club that we have. We want it to be the best environment for someone to grow in and have as many of them involved as we can. But there's nobody's really challenged us to say, no, we don't want to do that. Now, if I move to another club, I might find that initially. But
Yeah,
again, it's a
interesting.
knock-on effect of a school kid coming into us over the last 5 years. You have 23-year-olds who I've maybe coached since they were 13, and
Yeah.
it's not for them.
Yeah, I was speaking to a football manager the other day and he just lost his job recently. He said, look, the players were here. We needed to get them to here. I took them straight to here. But again, even just as you said, like, we're here, lads. This is where we're going to get to in 2 years' time. Like, we're gonna here's some of the, you know, how do you think we can move from here to here? What's the things that we need to do? Like having them be part of that process. Clearly it's been a little bit easier for you. But I do hear a lot of like, would you do that with the grown-ups, Rusty? And I'd be like, I think I would probably do it even harder with the grown-ups and have even more headbands.
Yeah, it's di probably different if you've got a committee driving results and you have to win to retain your job, and you as a coach are wanting to do different things in a different way, but it's maybe what your big things are you need to chase initially while you're starting little ones. You know, get the big plate spinning while you're trying to start the little ones to get them moving. And whenever I'm head of a rugby program at a school and then the head coach of the club, I know what I'm connecting and I know what's coming in. Or at the same time, you said about your daughter playing on a C team, she has more fun there. I know of a school kid, a school boy leaving at 18, and I know his best environment is really the third 15 and under 21s. Or his best environment is actually, we've got five teams at the club, it's the fifth 15. You just want to play a match on a Saturday and turn up. You just want that little outlet. That's the best environment for you. And then when you're ready, let's start leveling up and challenging a different role.
Have you got five teams?
Yeah, we have five teams. Five teams.
But no one has five teams.
Yeah, we're five.
And what's the stuff you're doing that, apart from the on-pitch stuff, that makes you think you've got five? No, well, why have you got five teams?
It's just so many players wanting to get rugby. We had they always had three. They had a four. The fours were maybe a traditional over 35s team. We introduced a fifth team as an under 21 team. They've kind of leapfrogged over. But yeah, we're building a lot of success. Our third 15 last year, I think, went undefeated. I think they won their league and their cup. This year, the second 15 are currently undefeated. Yeah, they're top of their league. They bonus won every match, and the first 15 at the club have lost one match.
And who and do you have coaches for each of the teams? And do you do like lots of social stuff?
We have coaches at every team, we have a manager at each team. I had to explain to my friend that the manager's the person that does all the admin-y type things, and the coach is the person in his world as a footballer. The coach is the manager in his eyes. Social events, we made a big effort to try and get this link between second 15, because they're the buffer between the ones and the threes, and sometimes a player can move up and down, and you got to have really good communication to make sure a player's not being missed out and getting the opportunity to play. Then you have to get the hierarchy of your selection correct, because you don't want somebody then. No, that's the guy who plays for this team, and you had to get a real mutual understanding and get their thoughts on it, how to get the strongest but fairest team, which is the right team to pick each week. And social wise, no, we don't put that many socials in as a management team or coaching team. The players do that; they organise things for themselves, and we maybe do a dinner every now and again. But you're seeing each other quite a lot on a Tuesday and Thursday and a Saturday afternoon post match.
And what have you learned from the girls? What have the girls taught you?
Oh, the girls' rugby is tough, man, in a really fun way. You know, we focus on tag rugby because for me it's less barriers to entry and I can get more girls involved. It removed the contact collision area for a girl that's playing maybe age grade representative hockey. We've got a couple of ballerinas, we've got dance, I've got a lot of dancers, great footwork. But the concept of common language, just it does not exist at all. And it really makes me check. It's a fun session to take, but it's stressful because I have to be really aware of what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it to minimize less talking by me. So there's more time for activity because that's what the fun bit is playing. But a concept of someone to run forward and pass backwards, but score at the opposite side is completely alien. So who's the scrum half? Scrum half's the number nine. Why do they have a number nine? They just do. So because in the scrum, then you pass the out half. Who's the out half? What number is there? That'll be 10. It'll be at the number 8 feet. Why their number? But the out half's an out half. They're all brilliant questions, but you know.
Can we play?
Yeah, and we just play a game. But you've got to pass backwards and run forward. That's silly. Why can't they pass forward? Because it's rugby, it's not netball. You know, but it's stressful but fun. And then so yeah, so it challenges your common language and how you're trying to put things across to create a game for them to play. We've now evolved that into contact. We're now trying to play sevens rugby to go into competitions. I've had two girls in the last 2 years play for Ulster under 16s at sevens. I think both of them will move into Ulster under 18s this year at sevens, and hopefully four to go to Ulster under 16 at seven aside for the Interpros, which is really cool from having none. And we put on different things away from the rugby in terms of playing and taking to watch an Ulster rugby match. So we put a bus on, and I thought I'd get about 20 girls, but over 40 wanting to go to it. And that was awesome, sitting with them, letting them watch the game. And they maybe, some of them have one parent, two parents, maybe have none. Maybe have an uncle or someone that takes them to the game, or maybe someone just has no interest in sport at home. So they're never going to be offered the opportunity as a 13-year-old to go to a game. So by opening that barrier, that really gets them excited about it and they want to know more. And then you're marrying boys and girls probably at school, where boyfriends and girlfriends are now coming to watch each other play on the Saturday morning. And they're curious about how they're playing and what they're doing wrong. So it just bodes together for a fun environment.
I was just thinking about that. You should probably take a bus with the you bring a you know you bring a friend on the bus. You can bring a friend. You can bring a family member. But we're going to an Ulster game to bring a friend game.
We're actually doing something kind of like that for the rugby club, the first 15. So we've hit the All Ireland Junior Cup final at the end of this month. And our mini rugby, the little ones, they're going to be allowed to bring an adult, but the adult has to pay, but the mini one doesn't. So the 8-year-old goes for free on the bus, gets free entry in, but the adult, whoever comes with them, does. So we're trying to get as many supporters to go in. So I think we've got about five supporters bus going to this All Ireland final.
Bring a sponsor. Bring a
Yeah,
sponsor.
that's exactly it. Yeah.
And then I guess you sit in the ecosystem of Ulster Rugby, and again, people will be sitting within ecosystems of academies or other stuff. How's that working for you? What's like helpful?
Within Ulster Rugby,
Yep.
there's growing links with the likes of Budge Pountney, who's involved with Ulster Rugby now. And Budge is putting on really good CPD opportunities and working along with the senior squad, where there's access being open for us to come in and watch sessions. And I was actually in the week before Christmas and had a good chat with Dan McFarlane and got to watch their session, sit in on team meetings, see how they do it, be a bit of an idea thief, pick their brains on things. And then come summertime, there's opportunity to go in and work within the age grade setups as well, from under 16s up to under 19. I did that for a couple of summers and worked with age grade teams, and that was really good fun. And then it's really good to see those players becoming professionals as well. It's also good to see some of those guys going and playing across in England and then returning to play club rugby. There's a couple over playing for Loughborough at the moment still, then they come back and play a club game. And you're out in Belfast and you walk past them and they want to come up and chat to you because you coached them 5 years, 4 years previous. So
And
there's plenty of links within Ulster Rugby.
with the age grade stuff, have they brought in like a certain number of coaches? Have they done that?
They'll have their professional staff, their pathway coaches, their EPDOs, their elite player development officers that take charge of a team, and then they'll ask for volunteers if they want to come in and avail of the opportunity to. Am I talking too fast, by the way? I get into a
I
bit
might
of
know it's I understand you.
if you can't keep up, Rusty. I have a Kiwi friend, and he tells me we mumble far too much when we talk. So just let me know. So there's opportunities to go in and work alongside the pro coaches, which is nice as well. But it's the time commitment whenever it's your downtime, and then it becomes uptime. So I did it for a couple of summers in a row, but July is usually your golden time to re-energize or building your creative time. I think if you want to be a really good coach, you have to be creative, and to get time to be creative, you need downtime. And I find after about 3 years, there was very minimal downtime for me. So a bit more time to relax gives you more time to think.
Well, when are you doing that at the moment? Because like your energy is infectious, and I feel like makes me exhausted, if I'm honest.
You know you're going to get peaks and troughs during a rugby season. But about two years ago, I learned to factor in downtime and not to work as much as I want to. So I'd maybe sit instead of watching TV and create a video clip that maybe took 3 hours. But the gain that I was getting for the team was minimal. But I thought it was every 1% was critical. And then I learned that maybe going for a walk in the beach or the forest and having a cup of coffee and getting an hour's downtime, I'd be a better coach the next day at the next session, or review what I actually did, or take one of the players for a coffee and chat with them rather than working on something for the team that was going to be minimal. So yeah, I probably do a little bit less than I would have done. I factor in good Sunday downtime if I can get a couple of hours of family time or going for walks and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was again chatting to an international coach yesterday, and just talking about like the rhythm. He's just gone from club to international, and like the rhythm of club to international is significantly different. You have to actually do like a pre-season, like you have to like, and then when you finished, he's just been to a World Cup. Like you've actually got to decompress. Like that's pretty exhausting.
Yeah,
I
they
was
must
like,
have.
no, I go to New Zealand tomorrow, but I've done a pre-season for the last 2 weeks in the gym. So I'm like physically ready to go and coach.
Yeah.
I might not be that good at coaching, but I'll definitely be physically fine. But I haven't coached for 2 weeks, which feels like quite a long time as well. So I'm hoping I can remember how to do it.
Yeah, but you have been coaching people through your WhatsApp, your phone calls, your Zooms.
Yeah, let's say that.
Maybe just not getting on the pitch to do it. Lockdowns were bad, weren't they? With all this knowledge that we were learning and we're being sponges and taking things in, we're reading. I say another thing that I do to relax is do a lot more reading than I ever did. Read a lot of books. That gets me downtime, and I feel as if I'm still being productive. But yeah, lockdowns were, we had all this knowledge that we didn't get to go and try, and then once we got the try, we're nearly maybe doing too much.
What have you been trying recently? By the way, talking to books, I've just been cleaning out the office and I found my pile of black books from the last 20 years of coaching, and I'm quite excited to go through them all. Some of the early ones and some of the later ones, I'm thinking, oh God, that's awkward, some of that stuff. What have you been practicing? What stuff have you been adding to your coaching?
Probably in the most recent couple of years, we're playing more games and less drills. I do think there's a time and place for drills. If there's something that we're wanting to particularly maybe focus on that you can't put through a game, or a close skill that's maybe within rugby context, if we're giving away penalties or we're breaking a law that we need to really hammer in on. But we play a lot more games of breaking a pitch into different zones and having the ball must be moved from different zones, fueled by your information that you would put out that's accessible for us to go, like your coaching cards. But instead of just finding a drill or finding a game or taking a game, I'd rather try and sit and spend time thinking how I can make that better for my team for what they're currently faced with. So I'm more a fan of games. And within the rugby club this year, we put a bookend focus at the start of pre-season on weaknesses, with the aim of transitioning through pre-season to focus on your superpowers, your strengths, and becoming the best you possibly can at that area, and you're to be confident at that. So if I plan an hour and a 15-minute rugby session, 15 minutes of that, which was tough to do, I wasn't going to coach. I was going to give that to the players and say, take 10 of that 15 minutes and work on something you want to be better at. Go for it. And if you can group together, you're all working on the same thing, five of you, six of you, great. And then as 8 weeks would pass, 4 weeks would pass, 3 weeks would pass, we'd shift it towards what are you really good at? Do you want to be world class at? And if I said 7, 10 years ago, I was going to have an hour 15-minute session and I wasn't going to coach for 15 minutes of it, I thought that was an awful way to coach. But I think the benefits are huge from it most recently.
Well, ownership's important. Players who are able to think like coaches might be important. What, I mean, and how have they taken to that?
Oh, it was a struggle at first. The biggest struggle at first was trying to coach them how to give feedback to each other on things. Getting away from basic things that we talk about of that's good, that's bad, that's crap, that's rubbish, that's brilliant, and trying to really define what they were doing that was good, brilliant, bad, rubbish, and so on. And then trying to teach them how to coach somebody to do it better or praise what they've done really well. So they're banking that knowledge to repeat it, like positive reinforcement. So the concept of let's work on something we're bad at was nearly embarrassing to admit that you were bad at something. It actually worked really well by getting the players to do it to each other. Take a sheet of paper, walk around, ask 20 people what you're good at, what you're bad at, flip the sheet of it. And it was tough for somebody. They might have had 20 things they were bad at. They might have just had the same thing that was annoying the team, or the same guy just, you're passing, you're passing, you're passing. But he knew then he had to go work on his passing. But they were able to get more information out of each other than me trying to get around all of them. So yeah, it's a long process, but it works so well now, especially you give them superpower time. Just go off, take 10 minutes, end of a session.
Yeah, go and sharpen up your superpower. What do injured players do in your sessions?
Pardon?
What do the injured players do in your sessions?
We don't have that many injuries on the sideline, to be honest.
Oh.
No, we've got a good record. We've only got in the most recent this season, we've had a couple of dislocations and breaks, but we don't get many soft tissue injuries. But if we do have an injured player there, they're given a role of being a coach. So they're maybe just given a challenge of how many drop balls? Can you just go on the ball? Can you just find me one point off the ball? So just focusing off the ball, tell me one thing at the end in the next 6 minutes of this game. And all of a sudden, they're giving feedback to the players and they're saying the same things as me. And it's easier to say it in the sideline, like it is in the halfway line when you're watching the game, to be past remarkable. But if your teammate who's currently out injured or for whatever reason can't train can give that feedback instead of me, that's pretty powerful. Or get the team players to ask the injured player, what did you see? What are we not doing? Is he right? And you remove yourself from speaking. That's a tough thing that I found to do as well at coaching recently is talk less and let them ask each other questions or if it's blatantly obvious what I can see, if I can ask a question calmly and get them to answer it, it's like, yeah, you've got it. Let's try that. Let's go. But inside, you're just wanting to blurt it out.
We had a really good at St. George's Park. We had one of the coaches who was, his challenge was he was only allowed to do an interaction from him to the players 5 times in the session. So ideally, most of the interactions came from the players to them. And so they created these co-coaching roles of the devil and the angel. And the devil's job was to like make the practices devilishly hard and to set challenges and stuff. And the angel was there as someone you went to for support and clues and ideas and to maybe go and do a little bit of one-on-one practice with, which I thought was pretty cool, to have Premier League football coaches like just trying something different like that.
I had two professionals last year that came into school to help me once a week. Two guys from Limerick. Limerick rugby people are really good fun. There's usually a swear word every third or fourth word. So bring them into the school environment as a little bit, this is risky. So I gave them the on the ball coach and off the ball coach. The on the ball coach was a guy, Frank Bradshaw Ryan, 6'9", second row, big, mean, nasty boy. And he was just dictating everything that was happening. And I said, listen, see in the next 3 minute game, all you can do is ask questions. Mate, his Tourette's went through the roof because he wanted to shout something out, but he couldn't. So he had to ask the question to get the answer of what was going on. And the swear words went up, and I was going, oh man, this isn't working. Calm down. You just have to think more, calm down. But it was good fun to see him being challenged to do it a different way. And the kids responded so well to him.
Nice. What's next for you? What's like the next level? What are your thinking's gonna like move your coaching on?
Just stay curious, man, and keep trying to improve. And whatever opportunities come my way, I want to coach at the highest level I can. And currently, it's at my school and my club. And if other opportunities come along, I would jump at it. But regardless of that, as long as if I'm continuously improving, my players are getting the best opportunity and environment to learn and grow in. So that's the most important thing, isn't it?
And if people want to reach out, by the way, I can recommend a trip over to Ulster, and a dip in the cold water near Budgie's house. Where's the best place to find you?
Oh man, anybody can reach out to me on socials, LinkedIn. I'm pretty good on my LinkedIn. I've got Twitter as well. I ditched Facebook a long time ago, thought it was rubbish. I don't think that was good. I kept the messaging service to keep in touch with all the people that I played rugby with around the world. That's about it. But yeah, LinkedIn, give me a shout. I'm always keen for a Zoom coffee and sharing ideas and thoughts with people.
Nice. And your WhatsApp game is very strong.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good group.
You go, can we go,
My pester
I
Budge a
don't
little bit.
think Budge wants to be in it, but
He's not leaving it. He's
it's
not. It's the best way. It's a good one to dip in and out of, isn't it? To share a thought or ask a question. I don't think enough of that happens over here. I think people in New Zealand were pretty good at it, to be honest.
Yeah, again, I think it's interesting. Like, we did a bit of work with Ulster in lockdown, obviously, and that's what led to this. And like, just being super curious group of people. Although, what the other thing, they're quite humble, so they don't want to like share all the stuff they're doing really well. And they're not quite sure about trying something like that might be called like outside of the box. So I think it's cool that you've got this community of coaches over there that are starting to think differently.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's you got to make a ripple to make change, don't you? You got to poke it a little bit, and then if people are hungry to learn more, then you fuel that and you feed that, definitely. But yeah, we've got a lot of very good forward-thinking coaches now, I have to say.
And a win against Leinster at the weekend to show for it.
Yeah, it was a good win. Yeah. Burns had a good game at fly half.
Nice, nice, mate. Look after yourself. We'll keep in touch throughout 2024. Yeah, over and out.
Awesome. Cheers, buddy. Thank you.